Welcome to Hope for Today, a weekly Bible teaching program that will bring you hope for every day. Thanks again for joining us on Hope for Today. This program is brought to you by Heralds of Hope. We are a small radio ministry serving a great big God. Let's go with Bible teacher J. Mark to Exodus for today's teaching.
If you're like me, in the difficult experiences of life, you sometimes wonder, is there any way out of this situation? For those who trust only in themselves, the situation is hopeless, because as humans, we don't have enough inner strength to get ourselves out of trouble. But for those who trust in the Lord, there is hope, and there is help, because God can deliver, and He is faithful when we call upon Him. His knowledge of the situation is complete, and His resources to help us are without limit. Sometimes, you and I may face a situation where the future seems totally impossible. In fact, even the present seems so terribly difficult that there's no way out that we can see. Today, I want to assure you, God can deliver. And He delights in doing the impossible when He gets glory to Himself in that process. This assurance comes to you and me as we study the account of the deliverance of the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt many, many years ago. This account is recorded for us in Exodus chapter 14 and verses 13 to 31. So if you have your Bible close by or can open the app on your phone, turn to Exodus chapter 14 and I'll be reading verses 13 through 31. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you today. For the Egyptians, whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Why do you cry to me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift up your rod, and stretch out your hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his hosts, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed, and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face, and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to the Egyptians, but it gave light by night to the children of Israel, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left hand. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them into the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drove them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots, and the horsemen, and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left hand. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. From this experience in the life of the people of Israel, I want to point out several brief statements to you which demonstrate the actions God employed to deliver his people from distress. The first action statement is in verse 14, "The Lord shall fight for you." What is God's action as demonstrated by this statement? He defended his own. In their experience, in their situation, there was no other help available. There was no way for them to go. They were hemmed in. The sea was ahead, the mountains were on each side, and Pharaoh's army was rapidly drawing near from behind them. And so their doom seemed certain. There wasn't any help available from anywhere else but from the Lord. And he defended his own. Moses said, "The Lord shall fight for you." Not many people have such difficulties as Israel had in this experience. But you know, no matter what kind of trouble you and I have, even if it is as difficult as this, God can deliver you and me because he defends his own. This statement can apply to your life. The Lord shall fight for you, providing you are one of his. The second statement comes in verse 21. The Lord caused the sea to go back. How did he act for their deliverance? He divided the sea. The statement tells us the Lord was active with regard to his people. As I said, there was no other way for them to go except to go forward. In fact, that's what God told them to do. He told Moses, "Tell the people to go forward." But the sea was in front of them. So the Lord opened the way through the sea, not over it, but through it, so they could escape. Now, I believe this was truly a miracle from God. We read that the Lord caused a strong east wind to blow all night, and it divided the Red Sea. It piled up the water on both sides, and the people of Israel walked through the middle on dry land. It was a miracle. It was supernatural. It went against the laws of nature. And so God provided this miracle to divide the sea. And some will scoff, say, "Peh, it's just a story. It's a fairy tale. It's made up." But really? Is it so hard for the Creator to control his creation in ways that benefit his people? I think the answer to that is obvious. Now, it may easily be that in our difficult situations, much like the children of Israel, we don't actually see the hand of God. Maybe that's because we don't have eyes or faith to see him, or perhaps we even ignore him. You know, we too often don't give God the credit for helping us out of our difficult places. We like to take that credit for ourselves. But God can open a way for you and for me. Now, it may not be like the Red Sea, but whatever our difficulty is, the Lord can deliver. And here in this setting for Israel, he divided the sea. And then there's a third action that God took in verse 24. The Lord looked upon the host of the Egyptians. With that action, he destroyed the enemy. God did this by using the pillar of fire and cloud. He looked upon the host of the Egyptians because he had purposed to destroy them. Earlier in this record, the Lord announced he was going to harden Pharaoh's heart and cause him to pursue after the children of Israel into the Red Sea. Why? So that God might be able to teach Egypt who he was. The Lord must oppose the enemy of his people. If he does not, then he's not God. In this case, the enemy of God's people was Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And so he distressed them severely. He made the wheels come off their chariots and made them drag heavily in the soft mud on the seabed. God looked upon the hosts of the Egyptians as his enemies because they had set themselves against him and against his people. I don't know about you, but to me it's a great comfort to know that the enemy, our enemy, is never greater than God. No matter how much he may bring together in terms of army and resources, he is never bigger than God. So the Lord looked upon the host of the Egyptians, and he destroyed the enemy in the sea. And then the fourth action statement in this passage is in verse 30. The Lord saved Israel. In other words, he delivered his people. Once in a while, a listener will ask, "Why did the Lord treat the Jews like he did?" Or maybe, "Why did he choose the Jews for his special people?" Well, the answer is very simple. He chose the Jews because he wanted to use them to bring the Messiah into the world and to demonstrate to all the people of the world what it means to be the people of God. You must always remember that the Lord is not accountable to you and me. He doesn't need to tell us why he does things in a certain way. He operates within the choice of his own sovereignty. So your understanding of why God chose the Jews instead of some other people is not that important. What is important is to acknowledge that what he does is according to his own sovereign right, and so the Lord saved Israel. After Pharaoh and his chariots and horsemen were all in the sea, Moses was instructed by God to stretch out his hand over the waters. The waters returned, and the Egyptians were completely destroyed. God saved Israel. He acted on behalf of his people. He delivered his people. And so, if you are one of God's children, it will be that way with you. You might not always be spared physically, but God will care for you. But you can't go against what God has said and expect him to deliver you. The children of Israel moved forward in obedience, and God saved them. If we refuse to obey, there's no guarantee that God will save us from our trouble. You must do what God has said in full and honest obedience if you want the deliverance that he has for you. And so I urge you to trust in the Lord at all times because, as we have learned, God can deliver.
Thanks, J. Mark, for this teaching from Exodus. The Bible is incredible, and each generation can learn from all that is written in this wonderful book. For example, people everywhere want to be free. In Exodus, the children of Israel were enslaved by the Egyptians. And you know the story. Moses led them to freedom. What does it mean to actually be free? The common answer to this question is doing what I want to do when I want to do it. This is a nice thought. But is that what it means to be free? We have the freedom to make many choices. Despite that, there are many people who are not really free. Oh, they're not slaves to the government or to other people, but they are slaves. 2 Peter 2:19 calls us slaves to what has mastered us. You see, instead of being in slavery like the children of Israel, many people are slaves to their own desires. With their free choice, a small choice was made. That one small choice grew into an addiction. They would like to quit, and many try. But too many times, a life of freedom leads to a life of slavery. Thankfully, this does not have to be the end of the story. Jesus tells us that if he sets us free, then we will be free indeed. This, my friend, is real freedom. Praise Jesus, this freedom knows no boundaries. It does not matter which country you were in or who you are working for. This freedom is for everyone. If you would like today's program, or if you have any questions, here are a few ways you can contact us. One of the best ways is email. Our email is hope@heraldsofhope.org. If you don't have email, no problem. Our mailing address is Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, PA, 15533. Or you can connect with us on our website. Our website is heraldsofhope.org. While you are there, please click on the Listen tab and listen to our other teaching. Again, the website is heraldsofhope.org. This brings us to the end of today's program. Thanks again for being with us. We look forward to being with you next week. I will leave you with the words of Jesus from John 8. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Go and live in that freedom.